Oh, I mean, it's Tuesday morning. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard. Glad to be spending the next 2 hours with you. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio. I said yesterday I thought shutting Jaden Daniels down was a bad idea. It's 24 hours later than yesterday now, and I don't know, I'm not going to do the whole opening segment on it. I still think it's a bad idea. We'll talk about it plenty today. Jaden Daniels shut down for the 2025 football season. Nothing left to play for. Three games to watch, two of them in prime time with a third that could be. It's going to be a long rest of the season. Buckle up, Commanders fans. Mike Barber joins the show today. Haven't had him on in a while. JMU in the college football playoffs. UVA getting ready for the Tax Slayer Bowl, the most medieval intense of all the bowl games, of course. The Tax Slayer Bowl. He'll get us caught up on that. Virginia Tech got a $20 million anonymous donation to the football program yesterday. That's a lot of money. What will it buy them? We'll find out. We'll check in with him. Abbreviated Commanders Rewind, due to factors outside of our control that we'll elaborate on at 11 o'clock when we begin Commanders Rewind. I'm still ready. I'm still going to talk to you. We don't have London Fletcher to laugh along with us, though, so you'll be stuck with me today during Commanders Rewind. Here's what's going on here. So on Mondays, I do the show from home or from Ashburn or Landover or, you know, wherever the winds blow us. I love local games because I get back home, but I do the show from home, roll out of bed, do the show on Monday mornings. That's my life. I'm not apologizing for it. So I'm back in studio with Hazel today, and somebody has put, there's a computer between me and Hazel just to set the scene. Where everything happens. The computer, Hazel knows what the buttons on the computer do. The buttons make the show happen. I don't know a lot about what's going on here, but what I know is that somebody has taped a recipe for tater tot casserole.
I'll be honest, I wasn't going to ask you about it.
To the
I
back
saw
of
it.
To the back of the screen. I certainly love chatting with you, watching you work hard over there. Every day is great. I don't mind staring at the back of a computer screen. I stare at the front of a computer screen the whole rest of the day. Got my own area. We got a TV here, you know, in case sports are happening. But
oh, we're screened up.
It's a little jarring, disorienting to be staring at a recipe
it's
for
really weird.
Tater tot casserole. 1 pound ground beef. 2 cans of mushroom soup, bag of frozen tater tots. Now it's probably hard to make your own tater tots. Still, this feels like cheating. 2 cups cheddar cheese, optionally Creole seasoning, and cooking spray. Well, that's pretty simple. We could
do
that.
Very straight.
Is this an AWOD thing?
He doesn't sit there though.
I love the guy. Noon to three every day. No chance he's ever made a tater tot casserole in his life.
And so that's why I would maybe he taped it up there to just like burn it into his memory.
I just don't see him cooking things.
Dinner with the girlfriend?
I think he grills probably, right? He's got a grill. AWOD's got a grill. It's part of like, you're a dude, you buy a house, you buy a grill. It's a package deal.
Okay, see that.
Yeah.
But you don't make tater tot casserole on the grill.
That's what I'm saying.
I see, yeah.
I'm not saying AWOD's never cooked anything in his life. I'm just saying there's no chance he's made this tater tot casserole. Is it a who's talking thing? They only have 1 hour a week. They should be talking about UVA sports.
They should focus, for sure.
Like, if we only had an hour a week, you'd get a lot more focus out of me. You give me 10 hours a week, I'm staring at a tater tot casserole recipe. Maybe I'll make it later.
Let us know. Let us know if it's good.
Are we doing a Christmas potluck holiday spectacular thing here?
I hate to break it to you, but our Christmas party was on December 4th.
That's what that was. So that's what that was.
And nobody brought tater tot casserole.
Well, it was catered. We were at Capitol Ale House. I like that. Now, I will say this. I famously worked at a place for 16 years that was the main newspaper in town. Mm-hmm. You can take guesses as to where that place was. Mm. And when things went, They switched the holiday party from catered to potluck. And I didn't appreciate holiday potluck. And some people got into it, and it was festive, and it was great to, you know, hang with everybody. But I was like, the holiday party is management saying thank you for working hard all year, which I felt at Capitol Ale House. Bennett Zier, Carrie, Purcell, Zach, all the people who are above me on the org chart, which is everybody in the building here, basically. Once I leave the room, I'm the bottom of the org chart here. Everybody, they got us an open bar and great food at Capitol Ale House. I felt appreciated. I didn't feel as appreciated when it was, hey, thanks for a year of hard work. Bring a dish. Could you make some tater tot casserole and bring it in so that we can have a festive time?
What do they say, recession indicator there?
That's a 1,000,000,000% recession indicator. I am so low maintenance. Get pizzas. Serious. Like, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It does not take a lot of money to get to my heart. Get some pizzas. That's all you got to do to get to the bottom of my heart. VCU played basketball last night. It started poorly. It ended well. Here's your VCU basketball update.
VCU basketball. Let's go!
And it's good. Very Evan Tracy with the alley-oop. It's good. Yes, sir. Michael Bell. Another three. Wide open dunk for Lazar.
The first half was tater tot casserole. The second half was catered delights. Lazar Djokovic. We'll hear from him later in the show. He had a great post-game interview with Robbie and Rodney. 11 for 11 at the free throw line. He is the seventh player in VCU history, according to Ian Redinger on Twitter. I don't know Ian. He's at VCU Bro. I don't know him, but he pulls great stats. Seventh player in VCU history to go perfect from the free throw line on at least 10 attempts. Also perfect from the field. Great night for him. Nick Lewis, man. Nick Lewis is a friggin' star. And Robbie and I talked about this yesterday. Look, I think he's going to be playing somewhere else next year. Maybe hang on to him for another year. I love that we're watching him now. Don't worry about next year. Enjoy now. You're watching a really good basketball player play at a really high level. Here's what happened. Is Niagara, they're bad, y'all. We're not sugarcoating that. They hit some shots early, I guess. Not really, though. 37-34 at halftime. Coach Phil Martelli showed a side of him we have not seen before. He recapped that after the game for Robbie and Rodney.
At half, what's the message to the guys? Is it a fire and brimstone? Is it guys, you got to take it upon your shoulders? What was the temperature in that locker room to try to get them kind of out of that whatever doldrums they might have found themselves in?
Fire and brimstone would be a good description.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't happen often. Maybe once, hopefully just once this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's happened three times in my head coaching tenure, but you know, this was one of them. And you know, some of these games, you know, there's kind of an old thing in coaching, like, you know, some people will say 10% of the time, some people will say five games where you're better than you really are, five games and you're worse than you really are. You know, and this was kind of one of those for me, like, where we just weren't ourselves. And you know, the what perplexes me with that is we had two really, really good days in practice, including a great day here yesterday, and that's what I would have thought. You know, like, all right, we got it. We got our mojo, and we did not have it early. But credit to these guys, we found it because, you know, as I've told them, like, this is the time of year where you don't have it, and then all of a sudden you start seeing these upsets. We've seen a couple in the league, and you see them around the country of – you know, that team that you're like, well, they were going to win that game by 1,000,000 points and they lost. How? You know, and, you know, so fortunately, hopefully we got one of our kind of lesser efforts into a 20-something point.
Yeah, it's there's no tater tot casserole for those guys. They got the fire and the brimstone from Coach Phil Martelli. Every coach has the gear. It's a matter of how often you deploy it. Sounds like that was the first time he has. So, Martelli, a sparing guy with the fire and brimstone. Got the job done, 47-24. Your second half margin on the way to an easy win over over a bad team in Niagara. We're not nobody's handing out flowers to Niagara. They are who we thought they were. If you want to crown them, you can crown them. We'll crown VCU. They're winners, 7-4. They'll play again on Thursday against American. We'll get you ready for that here. I do want to dive into the Jaden Daniels situation. Who was the comedian? Not Tater Tot. There's a comedian. Ron White.
Uh-huh.
What's his nickname? It's not Tater Tot. Tater Salad. Yeah.
What?
They call him Tater Salad. He's on the... All right,
wow,
you're
sure do.
You're not old enough. Yeah, you're not old enough for this. So, but there was like a tour, Jeff Foxworthy, you know, the redneck, and Larry the Cable Guy, her done. He was one of those guys.
Is the tour called "They Call Me Tater Salad"?
That's his tour.
Okay,
yeah. And then he was part of the big. It what the Kings of Comedy was D.L. Hughley's thing, but it was some version of that where they all toured together as you know country boy comedy, which. I think is out of style. Maybe it's time to bring it back. They called him Tater Salad.
They called him Tater Salad.
You know he's had Tater Tot casserole.
Call me Tater Casserole.
You know it. You know I got some thoughts on Jaden Daniels. Getting shut down for the season with three games to go and no structural damage, and oh, he could have come back into the Minnesota game. Yeah, I'm tipping my hand on how I feel. More after this. We're off and running on a Tuesday. You're listening.
Here's tonight, what happened last night.
I was working late at my other office downtown in the big city. We're not downtown. We're in the fashionable West End. I don't think we're in the fashionable part of the West End, but we're in the West End right now. That's where we do the show from. I was at my other job downtown late, and I looked, and it was halftime, and VCU was only up 3. I was a little bit like, what happened there? Do I need to go personally tend to this matter? And I slid over there for the last few minutes of the game, watched them. They took care of business. The plus-minus with MP post-arrival, very good. Now, they were up 11 when I got there, so I'm not taking credit for the win. Don't hear me wrong, but I'm just saying it could have been a factor. 84-58 VCU rolls over Niagara. Niagara falls to 2-9 this season. Nick Lewis is a star, man. He's so fun to watch. He just a freshman. He's playing some really good basketball right now, and I think he's going to be a big piece of this. Brandon Jennings is fascinating because, like, in this world where nobody's 4 years anywhere, I could see a scenario where Brandon Jennings is a 4-year hang it in the rafters guy at VCU. If he could take one more step forward, I think he owes it to himself to go play Power 5 and see if he can go next level. If his game stays where it's at right now, and I were advising him, which I'm not, but if I were advising him, I'd be in his ear saying, be a legend here. Do 4 years at VCU. Be a legend. Get your jersey in the rafters. Do the games on Masson. Just be, you know, spend... Hunker down. You're a Richmond guy. You're really good. You're too good for the A-10. My gut says you're not good enough for the NBA. What was it? TLC said that one time. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Don't go chasing waterfalls, Brandon James. You got it good right here. Nick Lewis, get your butt to those waterfalls. He's really, really good. He's going to make a lot of money playing college basketball, not to mention whatever's next for him. Lazar Djokovic, story of the night. 11 for 11 from the free throw line. Very impressive. Also, his first appearance with Robbie and Rodney on the postgame show, which struck me as a little weird because he's had a lot of good games, but I guess he hasn't made the trek up to the Robbie and Rodney booth. So he went on the fan after the game, and he said, hey, 11 for 11 free throws. And he said something interesting. He said, yeah, I've had to work hard on that because I've gained a lot of weight. Play the clip.
You're a good free throw shooter, I feel like.
Yeah, but like since I got to the U.S., I've been putting a lot of weight on me, so I'm just right now my junior year getting adjusted to the weight and the shot and everything. But yeah.
So, and I think that's fascinating too because you have put on. I mean, 3 years ago, let's say 4 years ago, how much did you weigh?
I weighed about 205 pounds.
And what are you now?
245.
So you've put on 40 pounds. And I would imagine that does affect your game. It's got to affect rhythm. It affects a lot of things. And now that you've been able to even out at 245, are things starting to come back that feel like we saw tonight from the free throw line?
Yeah, yes, sir. It's coming back. Like, we're working on it every day. So big thanks to Jimmy and the rest of the coaches, but yeah, they've been embracing me shooting the ball. So yeah,
I mean, not only was he 11-11 for the line, he didn't miss any shot. He didn't throw up anything that didn't go in.
Yeah, you're 3-3 from the field.
3-3 from the field, 1-1 from behind the arc. 100%. Is that you think that's one of your best college games you've had?
It has to be, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
And plus four block shots. We didn't even talk about the four block shots. Yeah. What was halftime like? We hear it was a little bit
emotional.
It was a little emotional from our head coach.
It was. So it all started, I mean, on the court, in my opinion. Like, we came into the game ready to, like, let's say, kill, like, win this game by 50. Shout out to the opponent. I respect their game. I didn't know they were this good. But since we expected to beat them by that much, once they started making shots, I feel like our energy fell down. And once we got to the locker room, like, it was a lot of commotion and stuff like that, but we came out stronger, so I'm really proud of my team for coming back and winning this game.
All right, that's a perfect post-game interview. I don't even know where to start with that. Let's go beginning to end. Gained 40 pounds since arriving in America. That's pretty common, like, you bulking up to play basketball. But I never really, like, it's my job to think about sports professionally. I'd never thought, like, if you gain 40 pounds, you have to relearn how to shoot a free throw because there's 40 more pounds hanging off of you while you shoot the free throw. I'd never considered that, which was fascinating to hear. The perfect part of that was we were ready to kill them. Shout out to them. I didn't know they were actually good, which I love the honesty. Because I didn't know they were good either. And they made some shots early. But I think Phil Martelli had some choice words. It's my understanding of the situation. He called it fire and brimstone, the locker room speech there.
I mean.
And the fire and the... Broke out the fire and the brimstone.
Woo!
Let them know. If you're a player, like, you know you stink. And then, like, you hear that. Like, that's got to be a rough halftime. You already know things are not going well, and then coach hits you with the fire and the brimstone. Both of them, not just the fire, not just the brimstone.
I mean, 1-2 punch.
Boom. We're not even done yet with the post game show. Keep it rolling.
I'm going to New York. My girlfriend is coming from Serbia.
Oh, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm gonna take her there.
So you guys will have, like, an opportunity to, like, hang out in New York together.
Yeah, like, I want her to see the tree and everything in New York. And after that, I'm coming back 25th, sleep real good in Richmond, and get ready to practice on 26th.
That sounds – has she ever been to America?
Nah, this is going to be her first time.
Do I have the freedom to ask you how long you guys have been dating?
We've been dating for 3 months right now.
3 months? Okay, cool. Yeah. You've been here, I mean, 3 months. Online situation?
Yeah, like, we kind of knew each other before, but we really locked in on the texts, and she really wanted to come to see me, and yeah, she got a visa now.
Locked in on the texts. They're locked in on the texts.
They're locked in on the texts.
It's good to be young.
I mean, she's got to be watching the games, too.
I can barely watch the games. How's she watching the games in Serbia? I can barely watch the games.
True love finds a way.
True love finds a way. I can't find a way to watch the games. What are we even doing here? True love buys ESPN Plus. And I haven't gotten there yet. You know my stance on the matter. I will pay $100 American dollars to any company that will give me everything I want to watch. And I'm not being greedy. I don't need, like, table tennis. I just want to watch the things that we all want to watch. This is not difficult.
You're asking too much.
That's correct. I am asking too much. Good on them. Christmas in New York with Lazar Djokovic and the Serbian girlfriend who met online. I love it. Part of me is like the Robbie reaction. Like, that is really sweet. Like, tell us all about her. And then the other part of me is like, be careful. Be careful. They're like, man, I watched too much Dateline as a kid. Like, be careful.
Right.
They're going to go see the big tree.
I mean, that's going to be fun.
That's amazing. Yeah. This New York at Christmas time. They're going to do Home Alone 2. They're going to reenact the things and see the pigeon lady and all, do all the things in New York. I've seen the big tree. It's really big. Like, it's just setting aside all the pretense and all the, you know, cynicism. Is a very large tree. I would watch a reasonably lengthed documentary about how the tree gets there.
Yes.
Because it's real.
Transporting the tree. Yeah.
Growing the tree.
Everything. Yeah.
I would watch a documentary, everything involved with the logistics of the tree. Because they do the tree show, but it's like, here's Nick Jonas. Here's, you know, so-and-so.
Very different.
They're singing Christmas songs because they've realized they can make a buck singing a Christmas song. That's different. I want to know about the tree itself. Is there a forest somewhere that has 7 or 8 of these going? Because you can't, like, there was the one in Glen Allen that got defaced.
I mean, there's got to be,
you can't,
like,
run the risk.
The big tree farm.
The big tree farm.
The big tree farm.
It is. Yeah. They're doing one for the White House.
Big tree.
They're doing one for Rockefeller Center. Not inside the White House, but they do one outside the White House that's a big tree. I don't know. Have you been down there?
Not to see the big tree recently.
There's a big tree.
Okay.
Or at least there has been in past years. There's a big tree.
I'll report back.
Things change constantly down there. It's a fluid situation, as we say in the business.
Indeed.
Yeah. Rockefeller Center gets a big one.
Yep.
Does Prineville get a big one?
No.
No. Wichita didn't.
We have a big tree. We just put lights on it.
It just lives.
It just lives there.
It is a living big...
Awfully conveniently placed.
Well, you guys have huge trees down the way. You got the redwoods and the sequoias and all the things.
Yeah, I think all the pilgrims cut them down on the East Coast. You guys have tiny baby trees.
You're kind of not wrong about that.
I don't think I am. I haven't discussed with a historian, but...
I think Lazar Djokovic is my favorite post-game interview of the season so far. That was a 10 out of 10 interview.
Gonna be hard to top that one.
Kudos to Robbie and Rodney, who were excellent on the call. At one point, I was listening to the game on my way over, and Robbie said, you know, Christian Furman's still out. He goes, stop bugging us. We don't know either. Which is, I think, refreshing. Like, everybody's trying to be an insider, trying to, you know, pretend like they know everything. I appreciate the, like, hey, look, I don't know either. Whatever's going on is going on. And he'll get back when he gets back. And we'll pull for him until then. We're Christian Furman fans here. He came to my mind because I think he was probably the de facto best interview on the team pre-departure. I think it's Lazar Djokovic now. 11 for 11 from the free throw line. Big night. For him, big night for the Rams. They're back in action Thursday against American University. The Eagles, fighting Eagles of American University, coming down from D.C., for a bye game, as they call them. Nice crowd last night at the Seagull Center as well for, you know, schools. Is school out? School's out, right? School's out. I think school's out.
School's,
I don't know
out.
Why. Like, you haven't been to school in a while. I think school's out. It was a nice crowd. Kudos to the Rams fans. Two more opportunities to go support the team. One more opportunity to hear me talk sports with you today. We'll crosstalk with AWOT on the other side. You're listening to Richmond's home for VCU basketball.
Here's a game plan.
We're going to do a show next Monday. During that show, we're going to talk about whatever happens on Saturday at the Eagles-Commanders game, because we owe you that. Because you're sticking with them, and we're sticking with them. There's only 17 of these. We've got to enjoy every single one of them. But then after that, we're out of here, y'all. Have a great holidays. We'll talk to you in the new year. That's our plan. And will there be football on Christmas Day? Yes. There will. Are we going wall to wall, making everybody come in to talk about it at 6 a.m.? No, we're not. Hopefully you can understand that. I understood that, at least. It's tricky because we've been through so many of these seasons together. I know that I've personally witnessed more than I would hope to in my entire life a number of seasons where the towel has been fully thrown in with multiple games to go. And I'll say this. The guys who play are out there fighting and clawing and trying to win. And also, everybody's shown who they are by this time of year, and it's this realization, like, we're not good enough to win. That's the part that stings. Even if you're, like, the Cowboys still have that thought, like, we're good enough to win. We're good enough to be a 9-win team. These guys aren't good enough to be a 9-win team. They're just not. They're... They're going to stumble to the finish line. It's Commanders-Eagles. It's Saturday night right here on The Fan. Pre-game starts at 2, 5 o'clock kickoff. We'll be with you after the game for 3 hours as well. And we'll do all that on Christmas Day, too. 1 o'clock game against the Cowboys. And we'll watch it because there's 17 of them, and you got to enjoy every single one of them. Now, here's the look. We've all watched meaningless football. Even good teams play meaningless football sometimes in week 17, week 18. I hate the part where the crowd's going to be green at FedEx Northwest Stadium Command Palace this weekend. I hate that part where it's a bunch of Eagles fans. And this isn't like I hate that visiting fans are there. No, don't mishear me on that. I hate that Eagles fans are taking over. Maybe this is a hot take. I don't know. I'll probably need to sit with this. It bothers me way more when the Eagles fans take over than when the Cowboys fans take over. And I think part of that, like, we live among Cowboys fans. There are people listening right now to this show who are Cowboys fans. They live among us. We have to hear from them every day. It's like doing CrossFit or running a marathon. They announce themselves at all times. They wear the shirts. They wear the hats. They let us know. They're everywhere. We get it. And also, their team's kind of stunk for a while. So it's a little bit like, you know, Red Sox fans, late 90s, Cubs fans, late 90s. They're there. They live among us. They run their mouth. But also, we kind of know the truth, which is that they're not really very good. And they haven't won in a while. So that makes it easier. The Eagles fans are, one, completely unbearable, and two, having a ridiculous run of success, which that's the part that bothers me, that they're all taking over this place. It also bothers me we're not going to see Jaden Daniels again this season. Dan Quinn shut him down yesterday. Did he, though? I think everybody understands DQ was not the sole decision maker here. Here's the press conference. Here's what he had to say.
He's not medically cleared for physical contact yet, but I'm just curious. Correct. If you guys were 10-4 and not 4-10, would the situation be different? Would he be playing these final games?
Yeah, we're not, so we didn't have that, you know, discussion.
DQ's over this. Here's the big danger. Here's the big risk right now. He's getting his team ready to play the Eagles Saturday night. And I don't doubt that they're going to give full effort against the Eagles. The risk here is there's a fracture inside the building. And you heard Ian Rappaport on the Junkies talking about that he thought maybe there was a chance Jaden would come back and play. There are clearly people in the building who want Jaden to play. We've had enough rifts in the building over the years. We've had enough the GM doesn't see the same way as the owner, as the quarterback, as the coach. And I don't think Jaden's opinion should matter at all here, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know if he's expressed an opinion. He wants to play. He's the same way. Mahomes tears his ACL, gets the surgery literally the next day, which, by the way, is completely unheard of. He's going to do an all-in for week one bit. These guys are wired to play. Jaden wants to play. You know he wants to play. I don't think any of it matters from a, like, competitive standpoint. And I'm not even here to tell you, like, he needs the reps. He needs to get better. Yeah, there's a few reps available for him. Yeah, he can probably learn from that. I don't think that's the part of it. To me, this is about Adam Peters does not have to talk to the media. We see him twice a year. We see him at the draft, and after the season, he does a wrap-up, if he does a wrap-up this year. Traditionally, he does. That's all we get from Adam Peters. He's behind closed doors. He's building his team the way he sees fit. Dan Quinn lives and breathes in this space, this sports talk, answering questions all the time, making appearances space. And I think Dan Quinn knows that the offseason conversation, and we're not starting it until we get back next year. We're not starting it now. The offseason conversation around this team, and you know this, we'll talk VCU, but we're also going to talk Commanders in February, in March, in April, in May, in June, in July. We'll be at training camp in August. And in September, there's that long, like, 10 days between when the preseason ends and the season. And The narrative is set for all those months. 9 months of no football, basically, for the Commanders. You know, whatever this is this week. But 8 months of actual no football. During that time, here are the things we will discuss each day. And we will discuss with our guests, and we will cross-talk with AWOT and all that. The topics will include, should they draft a quarterback in case Jaden Daniels doesn't pan out? Is Jaden Daniels injury prone? Would you extend Jaden Daniels' contract if it came up right now? Will Jaden Daniels be good again? Is Jaden Daniels RG3? Is Jaden Daniels really that good, or was it a mirage because the league hadn't come around on him like so many great rookies? You see what's going on here. The offseason discussion will exclusively be, is Jaden Daniels fit to be the quarterback for the Washington Commanders? And by the way, those are exceptionally fair questions. They'll come up because it's fair to ask those things. We'll do related bits like redraft that draft. Who would you take? And by the way, I heard what the junkies said, that they would take Bo Nix ahead of Jaden Daniels now. Get out of town with that. They're not watching football. If you're watching football, you understand. Look, Caleb Williams has had a great year. I think it is very fair. If we're doing, where do these guys rank? Drake May is the number one quarterback from that class right now, full stop, period. He is. Doesn't mean he will be forever, but right now in a redraft, that's the guy you're taking. You're probably working really hard to get Vrabel to come with him too, because I think that's a big part of the success. Number two is a very fair debate between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I would argue they have both had one successful season. I would argue they both have incredible ceilings and big liabilities that they've shown in their time in the NFL for 2 years. I would argue that we could have a good argument about who's number two and who's number three. Bo Nix is number four, and it's not close. He's not playing well. He's on a great team that's living. He had a good game against the Packers. Kudos to Bo Nix. He's had just as many duds. He's had a lot of duds. He's not the second best quarterback in that class. He's better than J.J. McCarthy at the moment. You can say that. That's about what we're working here. Who else? Penix? Is Penix in that group? I don't like Penix, McCarthy. Yeah. Toss him in a hat. Pick one out. That's the problem. That's why he needs to play football. He needs to play football so he can have one good game. Because all it takes is one good game. And then when we're having the conversation, we're saying, Jaden Daniels, guy who beat the Cowboys that one time, now we're talking a different discussion. We're not having that discussion. DQ knows that. I worry about the fractures in the building. Commanders Eagles on Saturday. Enjoy it. There's only 17 of them. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Yeah, be in the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app.
World Cup's coming next summer. You may or may not have heard that. Hayes, I just dropped there over on your phone. The U.S. soccer team doesn't have a mascot. So obviously it's a huge omission going into this year's World Cup. Because you think soccer, you think mascots. Nobody thinks that. They don't have any. We fixed it. The U.S. soccer has announced its new official mascot. This is real, by the way. What do you see here?
I see a dog.
It's a dog.
I see a dog, and the big announcement is that the dog's name is Banner.
Banner. Banner the dog.
Banner the dog. Inspired by our country's national anthem, we are excited to announce our mascot's name, introducing Banner.
Just because the song's not great doesn't mean the mascot has to be not great.
Why skip Star Spangled, too? That's the only part that makes it American, no?
Spangle the dog?
Spangle the dog? You could make it work. Star the dog? I don't know.
Rampart.
Everyone has a banner. Rampart works.
Rampart the dog.
Bursting in air. I don't know.
Great Charlie Steinerlein, Francis Scott, off key.
We had so many. Banner?
All right. Why? Why do we need a mascot?
Yeah.
We're finally getting soccer in America. I am the perfect person to speak to this. I did not grow up with soccer. I grew up right in the middle of World Cup USA 94. That was the one that was going to catch America on soccer. It mm-hmm. didn't. What finally caught America on soccer was this proliferation of streaming services where now you can watch Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, all the Serie A, all of the world's best soccer is now at our fingertips at all times. That's what's catching us on soccer, is we're finally getting to watch the good stuff instead of the manufactured American garbage. And out of that, we're hosting a World Cup, not because we're a soccer-mad nation, but because we have money and large stadiums and can charge $2,000 a ticket and get FIFA richer. That's okay. It's still cool to have the World Cup. It's still cool to be into soccer. Of all the things we do, we just can't play it cool. Play it cool. Play it cool. Like, what do they do over there? They have scarves. They have nicknames, but not mascot nicknames. What if we got a dog?
What if we got a dog?
What if we got a dog?
We could have a dog.
What's a dog got to do with soccer?
A dog is man's best friend.
Remember Air Bud?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a... I mean, he's got big cartoony eyes.
Yeah, and then we name the dog, and we name the dog...
Banner. Banner the dog. We'll never be a soccer country. Not like this.
If we keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
Here's Alexi Lalas talking about soccer on television and Banner the dog. Get out of town. Play it cool, America. We can do this. We could be a soccer country. But then I see things like that. Like, we can't be a soccer country. There's no chance we're ever going to be a soccer country.
I mean, what
country.
Are we doing?
We'll be a soccer country, but we're going to do it the way we do it. There will be pyrotechnics.
And there will be mascots.
Did you see they're adding commercials to the World Cup?
No, yeah, I didn't see. People are pretty upset about that.
Because they've been playing it the same way for a very long time.
Oh, the Americanization of soccer, they said, right?
And they've started doing this in hockey where, like, it's icing and they're like, smash a commercial in. Like, but they don't stop playing. There's a natural break where they skate back to the other side of the ice, and TV's like, you know what you need right now? A commercial. They are stopping the game. That's different.
Yeah.
Very different.
It seems like it changes the game almost.
I mean, NASCAR went to the stages to bake in TV commercials. They're going to do this to Formula One soon, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
As the middle of the race, everybody get in the pits. Mm-hmm. We've got to advertise. It's a different game entirely. We could be a soccer country. I think we could be a soccer country. But then I see things like this. I think we can't be a soccer country. It's never going to happen for us.
Oh, Lord. Banner.
Banner the dog is the official U.S. soccer team mascot.
To clarify, everyone has banners.
Sure. And to clarify for non-longtime listeners of the show, I'm not anti-America. I'm anti the Star-Spangled Banner being our national anthem. For a number of reasons, one of which, it's a British tune. Two, is not a good song. Three, it's hard to sing. It is a very hard song to sing. Four, words don't make sense anymore. We don't talk like that anymore. We don't talk British anymore. Yeah. That's not us. We don't do that. And five, there are so many phenomenal songs available to us. America the Beautiful, great song. Would be a phenomenal national anthem. Speaks to the greatness of our nation, as opposed to like the one time a guy got bombed but then woke up in the morning and wrote a song about it set to a British drinking tune.
You know, you do.
It's a bad national anthem.
Can I derail us?
We're derailed.
Oh, we're derailed.
You can't take a derailed car and derail it, but carry on.
Well, I'm on the Francis Scott Key train. Did you know his son was a senator?
No.
Okay, well, his son had an affair with a fellow senator's wife.
Oh.
Yes. And then he shot the other senator in the streets of D.C.
The amount of shooting that happened to senators back then.
My God.
Very common.
Very prolific.
Hamilton.
Why are we doing all this?
This guy?
It was one of my first D.C. facts. I was like, what happened here? Oh, Francis Scott Key's son was in the street waving a handkerchief to signal the wife to come down. Other guy saw it. He said, not on my block. Are you kidding me?
The Sharon Moore of his time.
Truly.
Nowadays, we just have football coaches doing that.
I don't know. He could have a future in the Senate. There's no requirements.
He'll 100% be in the Senate. Although I saw the Feinbaum's back out. He dipped his toe in there. Back out. No. Not going to do it. Virginia Tech, $20 million towards the football program. Anonymous gift. from, like, there's like five people that can do that. Anonymous $20 million for Virginia Tech
Anonymous-ish.
Football. Sure, somebody knows. Not me. I don't know. Nobody told me who it is. The gift will advance the university strategy known as Invest to Win to empower Virginia Tech Athletics to excel in the NCAA's current football landscape. The gift will empower new head football coach James Franklin to build a top team. Yeah, 20 mil. That's, then buy you some quarterbacks.
You can do something with that.
They need some quarterbacks too, so that'll work out. It's time to acknowledge it was us. It was, you know, that we were begrudging about it, but if nobody's going to step up and be the anonymous donor, it was us with our commercial money.
Yeah, well,
we pinched some pennies around here this year, saved on tater tot casserole, and it was us.
They didn't take our bid at CarMax, but we knew who to pitch it to.
Commanders Rewind, abbreviated version on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1. And beyond the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. The Commanders won a football game. This is not a drill. They're 4-10 because they played a really bad team. That's okay. You could only win the games that are in front of you. And it was very important for the New York Giants to lose. And it was very important for the Washington Commanders to win. And both teams achieved their objectives on Sunday. It was close, though. We'll dive into that. A little too close for comfort at times. But as you know, after the game on Tuesdays, we play it back on a segment we call Commanders Rewind.
What's that smell?
No, I taste victory.
Oh, victory!
We used to play that song every freaking week. Haven't heard it in a while. Tailgate Ted was posting online. He has a steak after wins. That's his tradition. He's been a vegetarian, basically, this season. It's good to win. It's good to get back in the win column. And it saved Dan Quinn's job, I think. The only reason I say that, it's clear that I think from the outside here, that he and somebody in the building don't see eye to eye on playing Jaden Daniels the rest of the way. And I don't know what to make of that. And I keep planting the seed, and it annoys AWOD when I say it, so I'll say it one more time. He wasn't the first pick. And I do think that's really important to remember here, because coaches get time. There's, like the Giants, there are some teams that you churn through coaches. Most organizations, though, pick a guy and then want that guy to work because he's their guy. It's important to remember, he wasn't their guy, and I think the Josh Harris group didn't quite know how the coaching search process would work the first time around. And now, it was not a bad selection. It was a very defensible selection, and Dan Quinn has done some very good things, including leading this team to the freaking NFC Championship game. It's not a bad decision at all. And yet, when you have to make a tough call here, like, do we keep him, do we move on, there's that little bit. Normally, the thing keeping him is, that's our guy, and we look stupid if it doesn't work out, because we picked a guy, and it didn't work out, and that reflects poorly on everybody in the room. What if that's not true? What if he wasn't the guy? And this is their opportunity to go get a guy who's their guy. And there's friction, right? So you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And as I said, vibes have been off all year. Doesn't mean they'll be off again next year. I think he'll get an opportunity to coach his football team next year. I also think there's a couple scenarios that could change things. Now, I think the Jane scenario is equally fascinating. Here we are, 3 minutes into Commanders Rewind. I haven't talked about the game one bit yet. That's okay. I was half watching it anyway. There's better football going on. We'll get to it. If you believe Jaden is the future of the Washington Commanders, And by the way, I still do. We don't know if Adam Peters does, though, or not. If he's not the future, next year's fascinating because you need to go get the future. And by the way, draft is in Washington, D.C. in 2 years. And Arch Manning is coming out in the draft in 2 years. Just saying, if you're Adam Peters, I think you have to make a decision pretty quickly into next year. Do we try to keep the car on the road, or do we drive it into the ditch? And like I said, I know nobody likes it when we talk about this stuff, especially with three games still to go. These are the important decisions that are coming. If Jaden Daniels is the future, you got to line up everything behind him, get him everything you need, get him back on track. If what you've seen has spooked you, you've got to decide how early in the season next year do we pull the ripcord if this isn't working and try to get into Arch Manning range or try to get into quarterback range in the next draft, because Adam Peters doesn't get an infinite amount of time either. He's rebuilding on the fly and also needs a franchise quarterback to do that. All that said, I think Jaden Daniels is the future. I think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he's good enough to be that. We've seen it. This year was weird. There are things, and we will talk about it all offseason, there are things he needs to do better, full stop. There are things he needs to improve on to be able to play 17 NFL games. Those things are hard to evaluate in preseason, in training camp. And that's what's going to make it interesting as next season starts. You don't have forever to make that decision because then you're 9-8 and you're in no man's land. You're going to have to either drive the car or swerve it into the ditch. And you're going to have to decide pretty quickly next year, too. It'll be a fascinating season in Washington. All right. Speaking of things we haven't played in a while, it's the triumphant return of our guy. Science rules. Jacory Kroski-Merritt, call him Bill. 18 carries, 96 yards, a touchdown. Here's what's impressive. Sometimes the stats get padded by one catch, one long play that skews everything else, right? Terry McLaurin, 3 catches, 69 yards. Well, one of them was the touchdown. So the other two were just regular length. He wasn't averaging, in a real sense, 25 yards a catch, right? That he had one big one and a couple small ones. Bill averaged 5.3 yards per carry. And by the way, his longest run was 16 yards. He couldn't go further because that's where the end zone was in the second quarter as the Commanders went up 10-0 in this football game. He's making his case down the stretch. I love this for the young guys. I do think maybe one of the more consequential things to come out of this is the Laremy Tunsil injury that he fought through. Wouldn't surprise me if he goes on the shelf. And we'll hear from everybody in Ashburn today, by the way, because it's a short week. They play on Saturday, so no days off this week. Tuesday back to work in Ashburn. Marcus Mariota will chat with reporters as the starting quarterback. Here's what I liked about Mariota. Ran 10 times, 43 yards. Never once did I say, oof, yeesh. Never once was it like, this dude needs to start protecting himself. No danger. Now, did he do stupid things? Heck yeah, he did stupid things. He fumbled the ball and almost gave the game to the New York Giants. Stupid things were done. But those stupid things didn't involve taking unnecessary hits. He played it safe. 10 carries, no danger. I hope Jaden Daniels is watching. That's the stuff that matters going forward. I think Debo's probably gone at the end of the year, so I'm enjoying watching Debo these final few weeks. I'm curious what this will look like for him. Does he go all out in the final weeks? I think Debo has done enough this year. He's going to get paid this offseason. I don't think he's going to get paid by this team. Wouldn't bother me if they did, by the way. Not even a little bit. If they want to re-sign Debo and run it back, I got no issues with that. I think he's been an excellent addition to this team, and they've got the money. They've got the money because they've got a lot of salary cap space, and there aren't a ton of guys out there, right? You're dealing with a market and a league where the best players are kept under wraps and not available in free agency. Tight end will be a need. Here's what's interesting to me. Ben Sinnott gets the catch. Ben Sinnott, on rewind, on review, was excellent as a blocking tight end on Sunday, right? Not a lot of Ben Sinnott compliments on this program every day, so let's give him one. He was outstanding as a blocking tight end on Sunday. Okay, but where does that put you? You got John Bates. He's also an excellent blocking tight end. You've got this offensive line arrangement where Trent Scott can come in and be a sixth offensive lineman. I would argue that's a job without a home here. That's a spot that is not necessary to be filled on this year's team or on next year's team. What do they need? They need a pass-catching tight end. They need a security blanket guy. They need a Zach Ertz. They've had a Zach Ertz the last couple of years. They don't have Zach Ertz anymore. You have to assume going into next year that Zach Ertz is not going to be a starting tight end for this football team. If he wants to play, that's awesome. I'll take a flyer on him. I love having Zach Ertz in my locker room. There's no downside there. But when you're planning the team, you've got to make a plan that includes Zach Ertz not being a starting tight end. So you need a pass-catching tight end. Is it Ben Sinnott? We have to force-feed him to find out here down the stretch. Cliff Kingsbury's not going to like hearing that. Clearly, Cliff doesn't trust him. Otherwise, you would have seen more of him. Maybe he's easing him into the lineup, and we'll see more of it in the next couple weeks. Maybe. But I do think, I think that we need to see if Ben Sinnott can do that or not, and I think it's probably more likely you're going to need to find a guy. Now, here's where not having the second-round draft pick kills you. Your first draft pick, which is probably going to be what, number 8, number 10, somewhere in that ballpark overall, I think they could beat the Cowboys on Christmas. I really do. When you make that first draft pick, it has to be defense. It's almost certainly going to be a pass rusher, although if you want to take somebody in the back end or a stud linebacker, that sounds great too. It has to be defense. You don't pick again until the third round. Tight end is a premium position right now in the National Football League. The good ones go quickly. The Tyler Warrens of the world are going off the board quickly. The Brock Bowers go very fast. Kyle Pitts will be available if you want to do a reclamation project. He had one nice night on Thursday night. Kudos to him. Tight end's going to be an interesting one to watch. You need Ben Sinnott to emerge. I don't think he will. I think you're probably going digging through the bargain bin, looking at the Amazon returns, seeing who you can get this offseason at tight end. Defensively, I love that Bobby Wagner still playing. I love that he's doing 100% of the snaps. Stop it. It is time to stop playing Bobby Wagner 100% of the snaps the rest of the way. Sandra still, get him some more snaps. Put him in these spots. Who is he? What do you want him to be? Mikey Sanders still is a good football player. We know that. We've seen that. Stop moving him around every 2 weeks. Stop making him do new things. Pick a position and stick with it. Pick a lane and stick with it. Let him rep those for the last few weeks. Frankie Louvu back on the board was nice to see. This is where I come back to, and we talked about this at length yesterday as well. This team could be really good next year. I say that with no hesitation. If they lost to the Giants, I would have rethought that. And by the way, they tried their best to make it a ball game down the stretch. That was a frustrating final quarter of play for a team that hasn't been able to put anybody away all year and barely did so on Sunday. There's a difference between off years and bad players. Frankie Louvu's having an off year. He's a good player. I believe Sanders still is a good player having an off year. Kinlaw's not even having an off year. He's emerging, man. Daron Payne, decision time? I'd think about keeping him around. I really would. I just want to be the first person to say it. Johnny Newton. He will be kept around. Will he emerge? These are big questions. Quan Martin. I love these out there. I want to upgrade at safety. I want to explore ways to do that this offseason. It's a big offseason, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But first, three more football games, including Saturday against the Eagles. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. VCU basketball, big win last night. Lazar Djokovic chatted with the crew on the Fan after the game, Robbie and Rodney. We'll play that for you here in, I would say about 15 minutes. But when we come back, Aaron Rodgers channels the Fountain of Youth, beats the, no, he beat the Dolphins. It was fine. It was a terrible game. We'll look at the playoff picture on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1. Commanders make some roster moves here. Lots of these coming this week. They've placed Noah Brown on injured reserve. This was not the season Noah Brown envisioned having. He left with the internal thing last year. I don't even remember. It was one of the, I have kidney in my mind. I don't know, though. It was an internal something last year. Then he injured his knee during training camp. So it was two injuries before the football season even began. It was cursed. The season was cursed. Moving along, on to the next one. Chris Moore has been signed from the practice squad to be a wide receiver. Sure, they have to play football. Those are the rules. And they have signed a new wide receiver to the practice squad, River Craft. C-R-A-C-R-A-F-T. River Craft needs to endorse the crick cut. That's my stance on that. Also, tight end G. Scott Jr. has been signed to the practice squad, to which I say, I'm for it. Do I know who any of these people are? No. Do I love that they're bringing people in? Yes. I want anybody who could possibly be a contributor on this football team next year, report to Ashburn. Get some practice snaps. If you can learn the plays by Saturday, you're in. That's my stance on that. I don't want to see Bobby Wagner take another snap this season. I love Bobby Wagner. I don't want to see him take another snap this season. Young guys, young guys, young guys, young guys. I want to watch this team get torched by the Philadelphia Eagles for 500 yards, and there's like one bright spot, and that guy ends up being a starter here for 10 years. That'd be a great outcome Saturday night at the old Northwest Stadium. All right. The Steelers won last night. The Steelers might make the playoffs. Y'all, just make peace with that, America. It's a thing that might happen. They play the Lions in the primetime game this week in a weirdly compelling matchup. So here's the other thing. In Monday Night Football, on Monday Night Football, they do the Spanish broadcast, too, and then the Spanish reporter chats with the player of the game afterward. And over the years, Aaron Rodgers has, like, become friends with the guy. And they chat after all the Aaron Rodgers games, and they end by yelling Monday Night Football together. It's what they do. Aaron Rodgers won last night. Here he is on ESPN Deportes.
No saben decir un buen Monday Night. Me ayudas en el cuento de tres y lo hacemos. Una, dos, tres. Monday Night Football. Monday Night, mi hermano. No sé si sea tu, no sé si sea tu último Monday Night o no.
Posible.
Posiblemente.
Posible.
¿Eh? Pero gracias. Gracias. Un placer.
That's the content we need today.
Awesome.
Part after yelling Monday Night Football, he says, is this our last Monday Night Football together? And Aaron Rodgers says, posiblemente, which either he's right. He picked a Spanish word. Good for him.
Yeah.
He nailed it. I think he communicated what he wanted to communicate. In that moment, I think he's just yelling Monday Night Football. I don't think he's making career commentary. But the fact that the door is open for another year of Aaron Rodgers, is he watching Philip Rivers and getting jealous?
Yes.
Obviously.
yes.
The fact that the door is cracked open for a little more, Aaron Rodgers, is kind of wild to me. All right. Here's the first part. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It set the tone with a little bolero. He's in the playoffs if they start today. Here's the first part of that interview, Aaron Rodgers on ESPN Deportes.
And I love being here in the city. I love the organization. It's been a lot of fun for me to be able to play for Mike Tomlin. There's a lot of good guys on this team, guys that care about it, guys that feel like they got a lot to prove. But my one question is, where the hell is my tequila?
A ver, con el tequila disfruta, Tomlin. A ver.
Whoa. Whoa.
I want to dislike Aaron Rodgers for a lot of reasons. But then he's in on the bit. Now, you can't hate that. You can't hate a guy who's in on the bit.
It's hard to.
I got a question for you. Where's my tequila?
Where's my tequila?
That's not a, it's a Monday Night Football post-game interview, sir. you're not at a Mexican restaurant right now.
You're not at the ayahuasca retreat anymore.
You're not at the ayahuasca retreat anymore.
Ooh, it's a long season.
Hey.
It's come so far.
Look, they're in the playoffs. If they started today, which they don't. He's got to win more football games. None of them on Monday Night Football. But he's in on the bit. Good for him. Four teams can win and clinch postseason spots with wins this weekend. So other teams could clinch with help. Four teams are winning in. And this actually starts Thursday. So in two nights, it is Seahawks-Rams. If the Seahawks win, they're in. What an incredible story there. Like, you try not to get jealous. And also, that's the coach that we kind of want. He was our second choice coach, and it's hard to watch him have a lot of success with Sam Darnold, just saying. Good for the Seahawks. The Seahawks, like, we're all mad at the Patriots. We'll get to the Patriots. If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, we're all mad at the Patriots. Like, they had so much success for so long. Take a longer walk through the wilderness. I don't want to hear from you. The Seahawks had the one season, and then it all unraveled in that second Super Bowl. I don't think they had enough success. Like, they've done enough wilderness walking. They're allowed to be good again. I'm fine with that. Eagles are winning in. Screw the Eagles. The Patriots are winning in. They're indisputably, they've got the right coach, the right quarterback. That annoys me to no end that we're going to have to hear from them. And the 49ers... on Monday Night Football next week, are winning in for the playoffs. What a story. Kyle Shanahan's coach of the year. I'll say it. All those injuries, just keeps plowing through. He's my vote for coach of the year. I don't get a vote for coach of the year. But if I did, it'd be Kyle Shanahan. All right, you got to hear the Lazar Djokovic interview. So I want to make sure we make time for that. We'll cross talk with AWOD. He's down at Capitol Hill House today. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.